drop a load in your pants, go clean yourself up, and then come back to us. Eat it, Yoshi! We suck. Everything and your mom.
Welcome to the H2MMO Podcast. Video game reviews and more for the discerning video gamer.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the H2MMO Podcast. I am your host, Mike B., where we have video game reviews, MMO news, and more. Today is Sunday, the 23rd of May, and joining us, as always, is our lead blogger, Brett S.
Howdy, y'all.
And, of course, we have our other co-host there, Brandon.
How's it going?
All right, guys, so what have you been up to in the world of video? You know what? Let me just go ahead and say this. I was late. I have a good excuse, though. I was playing Red Dead Redemption.
I want to play it horribly bad.
Well, I mean, you can come over. You are going to come over at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about that as my game review, but I was on the multiplayer, and it gets a little chaotic in there. I was attacking a mine by myself, and I kept getting killed by the sharpshooter. So that was I was trying to respawn when you called and take the sharpshooter out, but alas, he got me about 4 or 5 times in a row.
Oh, geez.
That was a player character?
No, that was just an NPC.
Oh, really?
But yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. I'll give you the scoop on, I don't know how many hours. I've got maybe 2 or 3 hours in on multiplayer, and then maybe about 6 or so on the single-player campaign. So that's where I'm at right now. But what have you guys been up to in the world of video gamery?
Well, it's weird. Facebook has been full of posts about that friggin' game. I mean, everyone's posting about it. It's like, did everyone I know buy this game? It's just strange. I don't often see video game posts like that all over, you know, Facebook. But as far as video games go, I actually have been... I probably have too much to play right now. I got Prince of Persia for the Wii. I got...
Ooh.
Mario Galaxy 2. There was also... What the crap did I get? I got something else, too, that I've already forgotten about.
It must have been stellar.
Monster Hunter Tri.
So that's what I'm doing. Brandon's going to talk about that. You guys can have a...
I haven't played much of it, but I can join in a little bit, at least.
Oh, you haven't played it yet?
I played a bit of it, but not much.
Okay. And Brandon, what have you been playing?
Oh, I just said Monster Hunter Tri.
Tree? Is it tree? Try?
Try. T-R-I, and it's got 3 next to it as well.
Turdy tree and a... Oh. Oh, wow, okay. Turdy tree and a turd?
Yep, it's the first Monster Hunter actually released in the U.S.
Oh, that's right. This is a big game over in Japan, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
All right, well, that's cool. Has anybody got anything else that they want to yak about before we get started?
Not yet, but I'm hoping Red Dead's good because I'm going to go steal it from my brother while he's in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
I'm going to steal from Mike whenever he's done with it.
So, well, see, that's the... Okay, well, you know what? Let's go ahead and jump right into it.
Okay.
Since we seem to be talking about that. Red Dead Redemption came out this past Tuesday. I think it was the 18th.
Yes.
That magazine, which we shall call An Informer of Games, gave it an extremely high rating. I think they gave it a 9.75 out of 10. Now... I don't know if the guys over there are, like, inflating their reviews a little bit. I really don't know if they are, if they aren't. I know that when I first started playing the game, I was a little bit disappointed. And I think that's because the game gets off to a slow start.
Well, you know, I don't know if that's true because, as I said, everybody has been posting about it and talking about it and saying how much they loved it. So I think maybe... You just didn't get into it as much as the other people did.
Well, what part are they saying that they're getting into? Are they getting into the multiplayer? Are they getting into the single-player campaign?
It's a mix of both, but, I mean, somebody actually posted, I just finished the story, and that was one of the best stories I've ever played and one of the best endings I've ever seen in a video game. So that's pretty high praise.
Okay, well, I haven't got – like I said, I'm maybe 6 hours into the campaign, and it has gotten better. As I've played it, and I've gotten more used to the mechanics and – more used to his the how you ride a horse and how you shoot and how you do this. So there's still a lot about the game that I don't know that I'm not comfortable with. And I say that not saying that I'm uncomfortable with certain parts. I just haven't gotten used to the controls and everything yet.
Yeah.
And well, let's talk about some of that. The commercial that they have out for Red Dead right now, there is more exposition in that commercial than there is in the beginning of this video game. I mean, when you start out, it's a lot of FMV, you know, the full motion video. And what's happening is that they're trying to give you some exposition, but you start out, you're on a train, you go somewhere, you meet a guy, you ride out to a fort, and apparently this is one of your buddies from Red Dead Revolver. You say some words to each other, and then he shoots you and leaves you for dead.
But actually, that character is not in the first one.
Oh, he wasn't in Red Dead Revolver?
No, the first one had actually a series of characters you played as, and none of them were him or related to him, as far as I know. Because I played the first one, and I beat it, so.
You know what? I did not play the first one, and I don't know what's going on. The main character in this one, of course, is John Marston.
Yeah, it was an entirely different character and cast of characters in the first one.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going after Bill Williamson, and then he shoots you and, like, leaves you for dead, and then some people from a ranch, they get you, and they bring you back to the ranch, and that's kind of where you start the game. And I want to say that when you start out, you should probably stay at that ranch. You should just stay there, and you should do everything that there is to do at that ranch. Go to the nearest town, which is Armadillo, when they tell you to, but then come back to the ranch. I just kind of did a couple things at the ranch, went to Armadillo, looked around, and then started wandering around. And in the first 2 hours of the game, of course, I was shot as part of the story exposition right at the beginning and left for dead. Later, I was riding around on my crappy horse. I was killed by a coyote, two cougars, who also got my horse. And I was ambushed by bandits twice just trying to go from point A to point B. So I was not amused by this. I hadn't gotten my feet on the ground. I hadn't really gotten the mechanics of the game down. And I learned later on that there were other skills and stuff that you learn at the ranch. And they give you the ability to go out and do some of these other things. A perfect example of this was hog tying and using the lasso. If you hang out on the ranch enough, they'll take you out to a horde. I don't play WoW, not at all. A herd of horses. Well, first you get a herd of cattle, and you have to herd them to a certain place, so they teach you how to do that. Then you use that skill, you go after a herd of horses, and you push the horses someplace, and then you lasso one, and of course you don't get the lasso until you do this. You lasso one, and then you jump on his back, and you break him. And doing that goes to another larger thing where you have to herd horses into a canyon, chase after the stallion, lasso him, break him, and then you get to keep that. And that's apparently a very good mount. It's a Kentucky Saddler. I think it's a $750 mount or more. Depending on what your discount is in town, depending on if you're a good guy or bad guy or what have you. But all of this you learn off the ranch, and of course I didn't do that first. I went out and decided to play with the coyotes and the cougars. And of course there's the Lady of Negotiable Affection. The women who sell their affections in town, they wear these, you know, the old Western lingerie. So I'm riding down a road, and there's like, "Hey, mister, help me." And it's one of these ladies. So I ride up to her. She knocks me off my horse. She gets on the horse, and she hauls butt. I had just come from doing the horse breaking thing. So instead of my gun, I had my lasso out. And so I just fired off the trigger real quick, and it lassoed her and yanked her off the horse.
Oh, nice.
And I run up, she gets up and hauls tail again on foot. So I get up to my horse, I hop on my horse, and then I start chasing her down, switch weapons, and I just cap her three times in the back. And this is all happening as you're just riding from point A to point B. Like, all of these horrible things. Like, you'll hear gunshots, you know, to your left or to your right or what have you. If you've got surround sound, I'm sure you can hear it behind you. None of the guys are marked, so you don't really know who you're shooting at. So I see this one guy running from these other two guys that are shooting at him. So I shoot these other two guys. They were lawmen. So I get a bounty. So I get a bounty on my head. I loot their corpses because you can loot corpses in this game and pick up ammo and stuff. And then the bad guy comes up to me and he goes, "Oh, mister, thanks a lot. You're a lifesaver." So I was angry at that point, so I shot him too. It is a very open world. It's extremely open. It is probably the most open I have ever seen in a game. Assassin's Creed, the first one, going from place to place, trying to find those viewpoints, it kind of bored me. But it literally can take you 5 or 6 minutes to ride your horse at full speed from one place to another in Red Dead Redemption. And instead of being forced down canyons like you were in Assassin's Creed 1, it's full. You don't get a load screen unless you hop the stagecoach. It's just you all the way. So there's that. The music's really good. And the multiplayer is pretty fun if you can get in with a group of good people.
Yeah, that's always the key.
Man, if you don't, it is so chaotic. Apparently yesterday I was playing with, a couple of teenage girls or something. I don't know. It's hard to tell on the PlayStation. But they acted like, they texted like they were, you know, a couple of teenage girls or whatever. And they were very nice. I didn't know what I was doing. They were both multiplayer level 20-something. And, of course, I was level 1. They were extremely kind and were trying to show me around. Apparently, you go into these gang hideouts and you kill everybody there, and that's how you get your experience points. And in multiplayer, it's a lot easier if you have 2 or 3 people and you're attacking the same position. And you go in there and you kill them. I've done it with just me. And it's extremely difficult, or extremely challenging. It's definitely not impossible. And so we ran around, some guy started griefing us, just, you know, wandering up to us and just shooting us. And he was maxed out at level 30 or something. That was really disappointing because he was griefing us. But then I learned that when you spawn, you stand your ground, don't even bother getting on your horse, and as this idiot comes riding up, just use your long-range weapon and just pluck him right off his horse. I did that about 3 times, and he decided he didn't want to play anymore. Because apparently I wasn't doing the proper Ritalin-induced behavior with my ADD and running right up to him and you know, eating his bullets as he fired at me while I was being stupid. And I was in today with one just now, and they were speaking French, and of course I understand some French, but I don't understand the French that you're going to use in a Western. And, you know, there were people griefing there, and of course I did the same thing. I stood my ground. One guy came in, I just cleared a bandit hideout and leveled up, and he came in and shot me and killed me and was laughing about it, and I heard him. So I just stood there and waited for him to respawn. Stood there, waited for him to respawn. He came in because he was going to get me again because he was a Billy Badass, and I shot him right off his horse. So, and then I left, so he couldn't find me. But it's a big world. I don't know what to say. It is a really, really big world. A lot of it's kind of empty. It's not a true desert. It's a southwestern desert. So there's lots of buzzards and crows and coyotes and wolves and cougars and people riding on horses, and they'll talk to you. They'll be like, "Hey, how you doing, mister?" And they're just NPCs, you know, computer controlled. So it's a big world, lots to do. It's easy to get sidetracked. I haven't done that much of the story, but gosh, it's, if you look, there's always something to do. So, I don't know, you know, when I first started playing it, I'm thinking like 9.7, I don't know, but I'm going to hold that in reserve until I, you know, play through the game a lot and see if it's really worth it. I mean, if it takes a while to immerse yourself in this world, but it's worth the experience, then yeah, maybe it does deserve that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, we'll see, and I want to play with some other people. If you could get a posse together, with three or four of your friends, and you're on voice, and you're organized, you could own whatever multiplayer session you're in. So, those are my thoughts.
Well, I guess I'll go next. I've been playing, and you know, it's weird because a lot of people haven't even heard of it, but 3D.Game Heroes, I beat that last week. I got it, and I beat it about a week later. I just had a boot because I'm Canadian, apparently.
A boot.
It's been, I got about 25 hours of gameplay out of it.
25, eh?
For $40, and there's also a lot of incentive to play through it again, actually. So, yeah, you can get a good 50 hours out of it, I guess, really, if you play it twice. And that was, I tried to go for a lot of the stuff, but I didn't go for everything, you know, in terms of side quests and all that good stuff, weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a crap load of fun with it. It was so much fun. You know, it's the whole gimmick is that it's an homage to the 8-bit era. I could not believe how much crap they got away with, to be honest, given all the references and stuff they have.
Uh-huh.
Right off the bat, you know, you get your character and you go to the castle and you talk to this guy and he goes, we found super the whole joke is based on Bayonet Commando for the NES. We found Superb Joe, and his name is Super Joe in the original game. We found Superb Joe in Area A3. Will you go rescue him? And that's a big reference to Bayonet Commando. And the funny thing is, if you press no, it gives a game over screen. the character says, "What are you doing? We almost had a game over. I stopped it this time, but don't do it again." So you know, it, obviously it's a game that doesn't take itself too seriously, which I love about it. And yeah, you know, there's references to friggin' Metal Gear, to Mario, Bionic Commando, Castlevania. I can't think of all of them, but there's a ton. And there's even references to various From Software games, like Armored Core, Demon's Souls.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, actually, Demon's Souls is Atlas, not From Software. But, yeah, there's all sorts of great, you know, jokes and references to those games. But the thing about it's just really fun, you know, I don't know how to describe how fun it is, but it's one of those games you can't really put into words until you play it.
Perhaps you should use some kind of numerical system to rate the fun. Perhaps maybe a number between two other numbers, one being low and one being higher.
You're right. I would give it a 232,000 for fun.
Out of?
Six.
Out of six? Wow, that's a pretty impressive game.
No, but, you know, I rarely play a game that's just it's so fun and nostalgic. I'm a big fan of nostalgia. I'm not a big fan of what Nintendo used to do for the Game Boy Advance, where they would just re-release old games,
right?
You know, and charge full price for them. I do like what they've been doing with the, you know, the Virtual Console games, where it's like $5-$10 for a game, and you can just keep it on your Wii. So things like that really really appeal to me, and I love, you know, and the game just it feels like a classic game. You know, it plays a lot like the original Zelda game, with a little bit of A Link to the Past in it. It's the music is hilarious. It's 8-bit and modern. And I actually had a friend. What
can talk about the visual gimmick? I know we talked about this on the last podcast, but the visual. Of course, everybody knows that in 8-bit games, you've got these giant pixels, and they use sprites with some canned animation. And that's basically your old Zelda stuff.
Yes.
So they're trying to play on this gimmick, but of course the computers are way more powerful now. So how do they do it?
Well, it's funny because they even explain it in the story. The game opens up with the King of Dotnia. Yes, it's called Dotnia.
Dotnia.
The King of Dotnia declared that the world should upgrade to 3D. So that's what they did. So that's the way they explain the look of the game. It's pixels, but there are 3D pixels. Thus the name 3D.GameHeroes. You know, it's a really, really cool look and feel to the game, and I've never seen a game that looks like it before. And it's surprisingly pretty when you get into certain areas, like the lighting effects and like water. Water looks gorgeous in the game. Just it's a really, really good game, and I don't know if it's sold well or sold badly, but I really want to see a sequel. And the sequel needs co-op, because that game would be amazing with co-op. But one big thing they've done that I think will ensure the game's longevity is they included a character creator with the game.
Yeah. You were talking about that.
you know, original characters that people have designed. Like, one of my favorites was a banana wearing sunglasses riding a skateboard. They're just dumb, goofy things like that.
And that was the character?
Yes.
It was called Nanner.
He was called Nanner. But the great thing is, then you have the unofficial sites where you have your Final Fantasy characters, you have your classic cartoon characters from the 80s, you have new characters. I mean, I've seen 6 different versions of Cloud from Final Fantasy VII.
Wow.
And, you know, some of them are good, some of them are bad. But it's just, I can't believe, there have to be hundreds of characters already. And that's all, you know, licensed, trademark, infringed characters. And, you know, they can get away with it because they're not promoting it. They just said, here's a character creator, have fun with it. You know, they're not promoting these licensed characters on their site,
mm-hmm.
but you can find other sites that have them up easily. So I loved it. I beat the final boss actually playing as one of the Moon Knights from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. You know, this little 8-bit pixelated guys. So yeah, it's a fantastic game. I'm really hoping they pull out more, push out more.
You said something about the Futurama cast.
Yeah, somebody made, you know, all the characters. They didn't look that great, but at least the ones I saw. But the one I loved was somebody made Bender's head. Just Bender's head as a character, and he, you know, he's smoking a cigar, and when you attack, his mouth opens up and the sword comes out. So
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, you play it and you think like, why wasn't this done before? You know.
Yeah, it's one of those memes that's just, it's an idea that's so good, it's hard to believe that nobody came up with it.
But, so I loved it. I would probably give it a 9 out of 10.
Wow, that's high praise right there. I mean,
it's not perfect, you know, it's got some problems, but it's fantastic. You know, I can't say enough good things about it.
Well, for a game that is so, what's the word? I don't want to say self-effacing, but kind of self-effacing, self-deprecating. Yeah. They make fun of themselves, right?
Oh yes, definitely,
and everything else. And the visual concept, the idea, and of turning the pixels into cubes, I'm interested in seeing how it looks, because I still just can't quite get my head around that. I mean, I've seen screenshots, but I'd like to see it like in motion, just to see how well that works. Because of course we live in the era of high def, you know, everything's high def now. Your toilet paper's high def, and to see them with this throwback idea, but using the 3D technology and, of course, all the, you know, the processing power and everything that we have in our game systems now, it's just, it's an intriguing idea, and I certainly want to see it.
Yeah, most definitely.
All right, well, that is cool. And how long did you say it took you to play through a single session or a single game?
25 hours, and I did a lot to get all the extra stuff, but I didn't go for everything, so I'd probably say you could probably get about 30 hours out of it if you're... You know, if you want to get everything,
and then you said there was high replay value as well.
Yeah, because they give you the option of starting a new game on a higher difficulty not with all of your weapons and stuff and your items saved, but any upgrades you made to the weapons. So mm-hmm. if you have like maxed out weapons, that'll transfer over for the next time. And when you find the weapon, the upgrades will already be applied, and all your money and stuff transfers over. So
that's definitely cool.
Yeah, there's definitely incentive to play it again.
Oh yeah, that's always good with a game where you can carry over like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes it a little interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I'd still, you know what, if I had the money and the time, I should probably go get the re-release of Resident Evil 5 or whatever, because my wife loved that. How many guys can say like, oh yeah, my wife loves Resident Evil 5? And the zombies in the co-op, you know, she likes using a big gun.
I mean, I can say it, but it's a lie.
So, yeah, she would definitely appreciate that if I did that. So maybe I will find some way to do that. But that's cool. We have the some of the Futurama guys and some of the Family Guy characters on our Wii. And so they run around. You see Brian and Peter, and they'll be running around our little Mii Plaza, or they'll be in the games, you know, baseball. So that's funny. Having another game that can actually do that is kind of interesting. And of course, you know, from what you say, it sounds like it's just exploded all over the interwebs.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that I've heard that a lot of stores have sold out of them, or that they're not able to be found at a lot of stores. So I'm hoping that means they've sold out and they're selling well. I don't know exactly, Mm-hmm. I really want to see a sequel, and I really want to see co-op in that sequel, because this game needs co-op.
Well, you know what? There hasn't been extremely good four-player couch co-op in a fantasy RPG since the EverQuest games came out for the PlayStation 2. What was it called?
Champions of Norrath.
Champions of Norrath, and then the second one was Call to Arms. And me and my wife and my cousin and her husband spent so much time on the couch together playing that game, or playing those two games.
Yep.
And replaying them. And I really wish that somebody would come out with something like that again, because everything now is like, oh, we have 256 multiplayer online. You're not going to sit down with 256 of your friends and play off the same TV.
Yeah.
On the couch, eat pizza, and have fun with each other. You know, it's all, everything is, you know, the Bluetooth earpiece and online co-op, and I'd really like to see some more couch co-op, some good couch co-op, that doesn't involve cutting the screen up into tiny little bits for, you know, everybody to have their own little screen real estate. So maybe if they could put that in the second one, maybe that would make it, that would just push it over the top and people would go wild.
Yeah, I think they haven't said anything about a sequel yet, but I think they'll make one, and I hope that they'll include co-op, because it needs it.
Well, check the number of copies sold, because if they sell a million copies, I can guarantee you they'll make a sequel.
Yeah.
That seems to be the magic number. So, all right, well, Brandon, you wanted to talk about some kind of crazy Japanese thingy.
Yeah, you know me, I like the Japanese. Anyway, yeah, we're talking about Monster Hunter 3. You got two parts of the game. You got the single-player game, and you got the online portion. So right now I'm going to talk about the single-player. All right, so it starts off slow. I mean, it's a storyline. It's going to teach you how to actually play the game, use your character, move around, things like that. So it starts off pretty slow. When you're in town, there is no such thing as walking. It's run and slide to stop.
Yeah, that's really irritating.
Yes.
Yeah, Avatar did that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of hard to get to the, like, if you're close to someone that you want to talk to, you got to move back away and then circle back around to get back to them. So that's a little annoying, but that's one of the only flaws I really found with the game so far.
Okay.
So the first 2 hours of the game, basically you're just getting used to how to play the game, you know, move, fight, collect and gather, armor and weapons upgrades, how to quest, and provide resources to, you know, upgrade and stuff like that, and advanced levels, things like that. So those are the first few hours of the game. You're just learning how to do that and expanding the initial area map for the story mode.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but some of the things that you have is that once you get out of the initial area, it's a massive environment. You can go out and explore and fight and hunt down monsters for different reasons or in quest and just for giggles. Just go out and just kill something.
Yeah.
What's the whole, I mean, it's a Monster Hunter game, so what's the whole impetus? Like, why are you doing this?
So Monster Hunters are, you know, think back before technology, you got the guys who go out and actually, for the city, they go out and they defend it and fight it off from monsters, animals, wild animals. So they go out and do that, and in this case, in the storyline, the town keeps getting hit by earthquakes. So they've got earthquakes that are hitting the city, plus they've actually got a sea monster that's come into the waters near them, near the town, which is the main source of food for the city, and they need you to go out and take care of it. Oh.
I'd go for the sea monster, because I'm not so sure how you fight an earthquake with a sword.
Very carefully.
So
bad earthquake. Bad.
Before you can actually start, you know, exploring what's the cause of the earthquakes, and before you can go fight this massive sea monster, yeah, you got to get your skill up. You got to get your levels up. So you got to do that for a while.
And do you fight smaller monsters?
Oh yeah, you can fight herbivores, which you can go out and you can actually you slaughter them. Then you walk up to them, you shake your nunchuck, and you'll get on top of them and start like slicing meat out of them. So you can eventually get a brazier where you can actually or barbecue and just start cooking them on the barbecue.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
So you can use it.
You practice to kill a sea monster by killing cows.
Kind of. They're like stegosauruses.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So at least it's a dinosaur.
Oh, yeah. Most of this is dinosaur. There's dragons. There's
Nice.
There's deer and other things you can do. You can fight off.
They have deer in Red Dead Redemption. They just, they'll, when you ride by them, they'll just bound out of the bushes and just, like, haul butt, like they do in real life. So,
but in this, your main weapons, you've got a great sword. So, two-handed sword, you swing it down and it hits the ground, it's going to shake the ground. And it's a sword cool. that you'd expect to split something in half. You get your normal sword, you get your lances and shields. You got your axes, which can have element attacks added to them. You got your hammers. And then this right here is actually the interesting one. You got what's called bow guns.
So a bow gun?
A bow gun.
Not a blow gun.
A bow gun.
Okay.
So these are your long-range supports. You know, your snipers, your they have sniper ammo. They have tracking ammo. They have explosive, armor-piercing. But beyond that, they also have support ammo where you can shoot your teammates and give them back life.
Nice. You say that in Borderlands.
That's what I was thinking.
The soldier has that carterize ability, and I've been playing that with my brother for the past couple of weeks. I can shoot him in the middle of a fight. He'll be about to die, and I can shoot him, and it gives him health. So, that's a fun concept.
Yeah, it's kind of neat, you know. Huh. All right, let's shoot my teammate. So, I mean, it's quite interesting. I'm still getting to it. I'm about 3 hours into the game itself, into the storyline.
Mm-hmm. Have you killed anything, like, big yet? Like, epic?
No, nothing epic yet.
Just dinosaur cows.
Some dinosaur cows. I've actually just got to where you actually have to go to the water for the first time. And fighting a few sea monsters, some giant fish, things like that.
Okay, and this is on your way to fight the big sea monster that's bothering the town?
Yes.
All right, well, that is cool. And what system is this for?
This is Wii.
The Wii.
For the Wii. Now, yeah. Do they use the motion control gimmick?
They do not.
Oh, they don't?
No, this was and I checked on that before I got him. I asked him, like, okay, this does not use the motion capture. I was looking in the back of him, like, doesn't say it. So I asked him, and he's like, no, it doesn't use it. I'm like, all right, sweet. So I don't have to pay the extra money right now for it.
Oh, you mean Motion Plus?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't use Motion Plus. Does it use the old motion?
Yeah, it uses the nunchuck and the stick or the control.
Yeah, but do you have to swing your thing to move the sword?
You can press a button or you can swing it.
Oh, so they give you the option.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, that's nice. Because, like, I have Clone Wars. And Clone Wars looks amazing on the Wii. And it's like, it's all the characters and stuff from the animated series.
Which Clone Wars? Because there's like six Clone Wars game. Yeah, Clone Wars game for the Wii.
It's probably the old first fighting one.
Oh, the lightsaber fighting one, yeah.
Yeah, and the game looks amazing. I mean, the voiceover work is fantastic. But after you sit there on the couch and you're shaking your arm back and forth for like 10 minutes, you're tired.
Yeah.
You're just tired. and that's all I have to say about that.
So, I mean, use a nunchuck, the little joystick on the nunchuck to run, mm-hmm. or to move around. You use the Z button to run. C opens your quick menu items, so you can switch between them. But your other buttons on the actual controller do everything else.
Okay. And so, what do you think of it so far? Now that you've got like 3 hours into it.
So far, it's actually really great. The graphics to it, especially for a Wii game, are really good. It's really detailed.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
So they did a lot with this one. The graphics are much better. I mean, it's unlike the other systems where it can go without changing, having the load screen. You have to have a load screen to go between sections or areas.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still pretty fast to load. So that's pretty nice. I want to try to get my wife to play along because you can play two-player out of online, and you can do arena quest.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still quest with the game and do arena battles. So that helps. You can, and that carries over back to your main character.
Oh, that's good. All right, well, okay, so definitely a thumbs up on that one then.
Yep, thumbs up on that one for the single player. I'll talk about the multiplayer when we get to MMO.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's see. We've got some upcoming stuff. Brett, you seemed particularly excited about a new title that's coming out.
Actually, yes, it's actually out now. I guess there's two, but I'm only going to talk about one.
Yeah, it came out today.
It came out today. It did.
Today?
Today. Yeah.
Who releases a video game on a Sunday?
Nintendo's been doing that. The new Super Mario Bros. Wii came out on Sunday as well. I don't know why. I don't know why. It's weird, but I got
well,
it.
What,
I love it.
What game is it that released today?
Super Mario Galaxy 2.
All right.
Which, there's that, and as I mentioned, the Prince of Persia game for the Wii. It's weird because the Wii version and the console version of those are very different in every way. But Mario Galaxy 2, I mean, what's... You know, what do I got to say about that? You all know what it is. You all know the first one. The first one was outstanding. It redeemed itself after Super Mario Sunshine. That was not a good game.
Well, any game with sunshine in it's got to be suspect.
Well, the movie Sunshine's awesome, so there. it's an awesome sci-fi movie. But, yeah, you know, Super Mario Sunshine came out for GameCube, and people were just totally disappointed. And then, of course, Galaxy came out, and everyone loved the series again because it was an awesome game. This one so far, I have not played much of it, obviously, because I just got it today. But it's so fun. You know, the big thing for me was they added Yoshi to the game.
Eat it, Yoshi!
Yeah, that freaking commercial is always on. Yeah. And it's actually really fun to play Yoshi. You know, like, Yoshi's been in a couple games in between his first appearance in Super Mario World and this one, but he's really fun to play in this one, unlike a couple of other ones, you know, where it's just like, oh, he's here, and I'm playing with him. He's a lot of fun. He adds a new, you know, depth to the game and whatnot. And, of course, you know, it's Mario, so you got awesome, awesome platforming and stuff. And, you know, I'm looking forward to playing it. One thing I like is they changed, I guess, the setup of the worlds. Because, you know, have you guys played the first Mario Galaxy?
I have not.
Brandon?
No, I have not either.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised. Well,
suck.
The way they have you travel through worlds, it's like, it's different than the other Mario games. You know, like Mario 3 and Mario World had, like, your linear, you know, your World 1, World 2, World 3, etc.
Right.
And this one actually goes back to that style, but you can still unlock alternate routes and things like that. And, you know, like all the games since Mario 64, you know, each level has various stars you can get. And, you know, so it combines a lot of elements of the other games, the old games and the new games. So I really like that about it. You know,
it's still a platformer predominantly.
Yes. It's a 3D platformer. You know, it uses space and crazy gravity crap, as the first one did. And, you know, so it's different, you know, than the other, like, let's say Mario 64 or whatever. It's different enough for sure. And I wouldn't say it's a lot different than Mario Galaxy 1. You know, it's pretty much a glorified expansion, but who cares? It's, you know, the first one was so good, nobody's going to care. And I'm sure it's going to sell a crap ton of copies. One thing I liked, I have not played it, but I've heard it. There's an entire, like, I don't know if it's a level or a whole world, but there's like a retro thing where you can play some classic levels, I guess. Like Mario 64. Well, like Mario 64 there's a level from there. I don't know exactly. Again, I don't know exactly what it is, but I know that there's at least one level from Mario 64 in the game that you can play. So that's kind of cool.
All right. Well, that is very interesting. I know that my wife has an affinity for the Super Mario anything. She doesn't play them a whole lot. She just likes to own them, which I'm sure makes Nintendo very happy.
Yeah.
She made me get her, the last Super Mario World that came out for the Wii that's got, like, everything on it.
New Super Mario Brothers Wii?
The
player one?
Maybe. Yeah,
yeah. That's
the one where you get the two players on screen. You talked about it during one of our podcasts.
Well, you can have up to four people, actually.
Oh, okay.
Which is outstanding and chaotic as all hell.
Yeah, she hasn't played it a huge, well, you know what, I take that back. The kids had the Wii in her room for God knows how long. So that may be why. So, but yeah, she does love the Mario stuff. So, alright, well that is very, very cool. Brandon, you wanted to talk about, I don't know, some crazy little game.
Alright, so, it's Lego, it's Harry Potter. Years 1 through 4. It's going to be quite freaking funny. I've been watching the videos on it.
Uh-huh.
Just the animation they've added to the video and the parody they've added to the videos they're doing, it's hilarious. Just some of the crap that they're starting to come out with.
Lego's very tongue-in-cheek about everything that they do, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what makes it so great. How they're doing this with Harry Potter.
Yeah. Yeah, all their games except for Lego Indiana Jones 2 have been awesome.
All of them except that one.
That was a terrible game.
Let me guess, the main character was too old?
No. although that particular game did focus almost entirely on the fourth movie, which, you know what, I didn't hate the fourth movie like everyone else did, but they changed the entire formula for the Lego series, and it wasn't good. But anyway, sorry, yeah. Brandon, go ahead.
No, that's fine. But I mean, that's the key thing about Lego. They do change it around a little bit, but also, it's the Lego characters.
Yeah.
The little round heads, the fake hair, little stubby arms.
And of course, everything's made out of
Legos.
Legos. All the set pieces. I'm assuming, have you seen any footage of Hogwarts or anything?
Oh, yes.
And so, of course, that's all Legos too, right?
Oh, yeah, Hogwarts, the boats, the train, it's all Legos.
Wow, that's cool.
Diagon Alley, it's all Legos. It's funny. I mean, even baby Harry is a Lego.
Well, that's cool. So, do they have any, I don't know how much information. I think I've read one article about this particular game. And that was, it seemed like ages ago. Do they have any, are they making plans for any multiplayer?
Actually, it is two-player.
Yeah.
Okay. So like all the Lego games, they've got that two-player on screen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
good.
You can go through and do spells, learn potions, and explore the castle, and go through the stories with a friend.
Oh, yes, from Professor Snape. He's my favorite, Professor Snape. Or he would be if he showered. I'm just saying.
So.
I think I missed a joke somewhere. He doesn't shower? What?
He always looks greasy.
Oh, well, that's because that's Alan Rickman.
Snape? Not... He always looks greasy. Oh, that's Alan Rickman? That's not Snape?
He's British. They never shower.
That's horrible.
I'm kidding. I like Alan Rickman. He's one of my favorite actors, actually.
Yeah, he is. He's very good. We were just talking about him not too long ago. He was the bad guy in Quigley Down Under.
Oh, yes, he was.
You don't know about this. Okay, so everybody's talking about Red Dead Redemption, right?
Yeah.
And then, so one of my favorite westerns of all time is Quigley Down Under, which, of course, doesn't take place in the West, and it wasn't filmed in Italy or Spain. It was filmed in Australia. It's a Tom Selleck movie. The main character is the good guy's Tom Selleck. The bad guy is Alan Rickman. A sharpshooter from the Old West in America is hired to come to Australia and ostensibly to keep... they don't have coyotes down there. What do they got?
Dingoes.
Dingoes. There you go. Thank you. So to keep dingoes off the ranch... And so he goes down, and the owner of the ranch is Alan Rickman, and surprise, surprise, after your three-month journey from California to Australia, they don't really want you to shoot dingoes so much as, I don't know, aborigines. Of course, Tom Selleck's character doesn't like this, and then the movie ensues. So, and it's a fantastic Western, all in the Australian outback. It's wonderful. And Alan Rickman is in that. Just a little cultural lesson there. I think it's about from circa 1990s-ish, early 90s.
That would have been my next question, which was when it was made.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, sorry, Brandon.
No, that's fine.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, that's it for now, man. The release date is June 29th. So next month, end of the month.
Yeah, that's very soon. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's coming out next month.
Oh, this coming year, end of the year, there's going to be a lot of good games coming out we have to be talking about.
A lot of it, though, I think next month, though, there's like some ridiculous amount of titles coming out for the DS.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you own a DS and you play your DS, because I have a PSP, but I don't really play it that much. But if you own a DS and you play the DS, June is the month for you. They're releasing everything and your mom.
I heard about
it's
that game. It's pretty
incredible.
Fun.
Incredible. Yeah, everything and your mom. It's an amazing new title.
My next big things really are both going to be in 2011. There's a it's the end of a series. It's called Gears of War 3.
Mm-hmm.
And another end of the series, Mass Effect 3. So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to – feel free to bleep this out, but I'm going to shit my pants when those games come out.
No, I'm probably going to leave that in there.
Okay, fair enough.
We'll see what happens with the podcast post-production. If you hear that segment, I didn't edit it out.
Okay. Keep that in mind.
Cool. Okay, so we've talked about Super Mario Galaxy 2 that's coming out at
today.
Midnight a few hours ago.
Yes.
We've talked about Lego Harry Potter. What do I want to talk about? You know what? I don't have anything cute to talk about. I'm not a cute guy. I don't do cute. So I'm going to talk about something non-cute. Like maybe, I don't know, some Autobots and some Decrapticons.
To be fair, some of those shows did go the cute route. Of course, that's the newer iterations. But, yes, this new game does look really good.
Transformers, War for Cybertron. Oh, yes. Look, just put the podcast on pause. Go to www.transformersgame.com. Take a look at some of the videos. Drop a load in your pants. Go clean yourself up, and then come back to us.
Done and done.
All right. Okay, and now that you're back with clean pants, this game is scheduled for release on June 22nd, so it's coming out at the end of next month. Some of the videos on the website, and I know, like, before the masses start screaming and hollering, I know that you can't always tell how good a video game's going to be from the videos, but the videos look really cool. I mean, they look cool. It's got two single-player campaigns, so you can play the game through as an Autobot. And then when you're done with that, you're like, oh, wait, now I can play the game through as a Decepticon. So it's like a twofer. It's the BOGO. Buy one, get one. So you can do that. It's supposed to have a vicious, you know, online multiplayer. You know, you're running around with your Autobots and you're fighting other players. They're the Decepticons and... You can transform.
And?
Into stuff.
I thought you were going to go for the transform and roll out.
Oh, no.
Transformers, roll out.
No, the videos and the character bios on the website. Soundwave is no longer a 1980s cassette deck. I was devastated. Not by Devastator, who's another character, but... he turns into a car now. Soundwave does. So he actually transforms into something useful. But the way that they've got these, the multiplayer battles set up, I didn't see much footage of the single player campaign, but the multiplayer stuff, you know, they've got like capture the flag, but it involved a bomb. So, hey, there's more exploding stuff. In order to win the game, you have to blow stuff up. These guys are running down this, you know, you get an Autobot or somebody running down a ramp or something, and there's two guys standing down there shooting at him. He transforms, speeds up, smacks into both of them, sends them flying.
Oh, yes, I'm actually watching it right now while you're talking it.
What is there not to love about that?
I mean, they transform into cars, transforming into jets, they're transforming jets in air, shooting down at you, transforming back into jets and flying off.
Tanks, some of them, Megatron is a tank. Some of the other big guys are tanks. They've redone, because this takes place on Cybertron, so of course they're not gonna have, you know, a 1968 VW Bug. You know, they've transformed things into futuristic versions of what we're used to. You know, so, like, I think Optimus Prime looks like some kind of crazy cross between, it's looks like kind of a futuristic train engine, you know, but with big semi tires. It looks awesome though. So this game, it's supposed to be a third person high action shooter. Everybody knows how much I love third person shooters. I'd much rather play a third person shooter than a first person, because then I get to see my dude doing cool stuff. I don't know what to say except I'm excited. I really want to see how this game pans out. Can you hear that?
What?
I don't. It's like some do 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 do.
I don't hear a thing.
Oh, okay. Because the girls are in the back and they know I'm podcasting. And they decided to, I don't know, make a dance club. Maybe they're playing Dance Club Barbie. I mean, after all, they are only what, 17, 18? So. But I'm excited. I really want to play this. I don't think that, to date, I don't think there has been a really super good Transformers game.
Yeah,
no, in fact, most of them have been bad.
There was one in the past, right?
What?
And it was for some reason I vaguely recall that they did one in the past, or that there was one in the past. I'm not sure, but. But anyway, we haven't had one.
Yeah.
And so if these guys, I don't know who's doing it. I forgot to look that up. I'm a bad nerd.
Well, I know it's not the people that made the movie-based Transformers games, so we're in good hands, because those games sucked.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, those games sucked.
Those were recent ones, and they weren't, like, they're not so good.
Yeah.
Well, this one is supposed to be, like, the experience of what it is to be, you know, these massive transformable robots fighting for their home planet. They're not on Earth. They're not trying to protect daisies and puppy dogs and little kids. This is their planet. They're fighting a war. It's a civil war. You know, whoever wins this, you know, gets it all.
Yeah.
So it definitely seems like there's some good motivation in that, you know, internal story motivation. If they can pull it off, you know, this thing will go over the top. But, you know, then again, Iron Man 2 was supposed to be good. And the game, not the movie.
Yeah.
And while the game was better than the first one was so bad that even though they improved it, this one was only crap.
See, I've heard the opposite. I've heard that the second game was much worse.
Really?
That's been the general buzz.
That it was worse?
Yeah.
God, because everything I read was about, you know, how they were working to make the thing better. Well,
trying to make it better. They just failed miserably.
73 people lost their jobs after that game released. That Sony bought the studio that, I guess, I don't know, before or after the first one, they bought the studio that was making it. And when they released this one, and Metacritic, the general consensus is it's about a 6 out of 10. But Sony shut that studio down and fired 73 people.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. So, yeah, if you do two doo-doo video games, you guys are done. Do you remember that? The consumer has spoken. All right, so War for Cybertron, Super Mario Galaxy 2, and Lego Harry Potter. Very good, very good. Well, we're coming up to the end here.
Yes, we are.
What have we got for... Okay, you know, I have a bone to pick with you, Brett.
I know it's going to be.
MMO news. Okay, so last time we did the podcast, I guess it was about 3 weeks ago, it was Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
So, Doctor Who is, of course, that's a Vidya entertainment. Not necessarily a Vidya game entertainment, but it's got high nerd cred.
Yeah.
So please tell me what Lost has to do with our nerddom.
Well, actually, a lot. The people that write that show are huge nerds. There's nerdy crap all, sprinkled all throughout the show.
Brett Talks, take two.
I'm going to keep that. No, I'm going to keep that.
So what's the big buzz?
Well, I mean, it's done. It's done tonight. Like, the last episodes are tonight. And I don't know why they're showing it on Sunday when the show is on Tuesdays, but you know, I've got a couple friends coming over, and we're going to geek out and watch it, and then probably kill ourselves because we won't have anything else to watch now. So
you can't. You have a contract with H2MMO.com.
Oh.
It's I think it's page 13.
I guess I'll
paragraph 7, line item B. No suicide. No self-inflicted death is allowed.
All right. Well, they can drink the Kool-Aid with arsenic, and I'll just watch. I guess
watch. Yeah. So you know, I've never gotten into Lost that much. I don't know that much about it. I do know that the Korean guy speaks English.
Yes. I shouldn't say anything because that might
be about it. So,
yeah, but
so this is the finale. They've been on for how many years? How many seasons?
Season. And you know,
six.
Six. The last season, people were a little worried because it was kind of boring and kind of bland. But this season's been like intense and amazing, and we've gotten answers to all those crazy mysteries and just yeah, it's been great writing and storytelling. Great acting and everything like that. Terry O'Quinn, who you know, he's been in a ton of things before this. Crap, I can remember when I first saw him, like The Rocketeer, back in those days.
Oh my God, I remember that film.
Yeah, he played, I think, Howard Hughes in that. But he's been the best part of the show. He's been like, because he's had more than one role, even though he's played the same guy. It's hard to explain without you know actually showing you.
That's okay.
You know, but he's just been such a great – he's been great in all the roles he's had. You know, he can play angry. He can play evil, menacing. He can play, you know, hurt, like fragile, whatever. He's been amazing. And, yeah, I mean, the show's done. Like, that'll be it. And then we'll have to find some other show to, like, geek out about and, you know, talk about all like, – what did this line in this episode mean, you know?
I heard that they were – there was some big convention this weekend or something, and that they were relabeling the hotel wine bottles, like the fans were.
Wow.
They were, like, scratching off the things, and then they were putting on, like, some kind of wine bottle label from the series. So, yeah, it's made NPR.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, there's a specific, like, brand that you always see.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, that's... I guess neither of you guys. I know you don't, but I guess Brandon doesn't watch it either. But we're all of us Lost nerds are going to have a lot to talk about tonight and tomorrow. So,
all right. Well, that's okay.
Yeah, correct. I don't watch it. My brother does, but I do not.
All right. Well, let's see. Where do we want to go next? Do we want to go with Monster Hunter Tri 3? Multiplayer, or do we want to talk about some other MMO stuff?
Well, go to mine. It's fast and simple.
Okay.
So, part of the reason I went to this game is because it is multiplayer.
We're back on Monster Hunter.
Yeah, we're back on Monster Hunter 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's because it is online. It's up to 4 players in a party, and you have... multiple servers you can pick from to play on. So you can pick on an empty server, have it all to yourself, and play.
Oh, nice.
Okay, as well as you can pick on a Lotus server, which only has up to 1,000 people.
What? 1,000?
1,000 people.
Man.
So, I mean, you get a nice variety. You can have a lot of people in there if you want to learn and ask around, or you can have a server to yourself. You and your friends get on, go at it, just by yourself, go explore the world. Have the entire economy to yourself. Now, the difference between the single mode and the multiplayer mode is that the city is different. You actually go to a whole new city, much larger environment, much larger world to explore because you are multiplayer. I mean, but then you have the issue where, okay, the monsters are harder, the environment's harder, the quests are harder. You're going to need help.
Oh, okay.
But it's Wii. There's no fee to play online. The only thing that you might need is the Wii Talk system, but you can use the in-game chat system when you just type out your message.
That drives me nuts on the PlayStation. Oh my God, that drives me nuts.
Or if you're a geek like me, I just go and grab my Skype and my laptop and just set it up and play from there.
There you go. So how big can your party... Okay, so when you put this in the MMO news, I was like, okay, yeah, whatever, it's Wii. But you're saying 1,000 people on one server?
Per server. And they have
that capacity.
Yes.
Because, man, Red Dead Redemption, I swear, if you've got, like, I think the most I've seen is, like, 10. in an instance of the world.
When I went in, there were two completely full servers and one that was half full. No, it was just about full. It was at 980 out of the 1,000. And there are a couple others that were, you know, just beginning to build up. 47, a couple that were still empty.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but there were like eight servers just sitting there for the under 30 class.
Wow.
Then you have the over 30, which had more. Then you have the overall, which is everyone can come in and play no matter what your level is.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's have you done any of the multiplayer?
I started it. I'm still exploring the main city because I was playing the story mode.
Well, do the story modes and the multiplayer interact, or are you like different guys?
Nope, same character. He carries over.
So you can like level up in single player and then go into multiplayer and then level up there and then come back?
Yep.
Wow. That's, yeah, okay.
You can
That's
level
neat.
Up, you can cash out. I mean, you can do whatever you want, duh. But it's nice to play with friends like that. And four people playing together on a Wii, on a simple game like this, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, yeah. Well, because, you know, I was talking with some of our friends and family last night about, you know, if we had, you know, four dudes with Red Dead Redemption with the mics, and you could load in, and if you were tight and coordinated, you could just own whatever instance, whatever online instance you're in, like whatever, you just own it. Like somebody walk up to you and want to grief you, no, that's four people shooting at them all at once. Like,
yep.
It would be insane. I'm still shocked at the server loads that they're willing to put on this for Monster Hunter. But, I mean, again, it's supposed to be very, very big in Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Do you play with the Japanese people?
I haven't seen any yet, but then again, it's our AM, their PM, so.
Because I know that they used to play Final Fantasy XI.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But even back
you try to talk to somebody, and he's like, I know English good.
Yeah.
Like, and when I say no, I mean N-O. Like, oh, wow. Okay, all right, well, then definitely do some of that multiplayer and get back to us and let us know, like, once you've got, you know, like a good amount of hours in and how it goes, because I'm interested to see, like, it's a Wii game. They've got huge servers, huge server populations. I did not expect that from a Wii game at all.
And what's really nice is that they only go down on Tuesdays for server maintenance, and they're West Coast, so and it's between they're midnight and 3 a.m. on Tuesdays. Okay, we're all going to work.
Yeah, all right. Well, that is awesome. Well, we, you know what? I want you to come back and let us know how that all pans out, because that's going to be, and I'm sure I'm going to talk about Red Dead Redemption at some point later on.
I hope so, and hopefully we get some people on to play it, play some games together.
That's a thought too. Well, you know what? Here's a thought is that if we can turn, you know, the podcast and the website or whatever into like a meta guild, you know, and that was kind of one of the ideas behind it in the first place. If we can get, if you're listening and you want to play video games and you want to plug in with our network, because I mean, I've got a PlayStation and a Wii. Brett has everything. I think Brandon, you have the Xbox.
Yep, and the Wii.
And we've all got PCs. So if you're listening to this and you want to do a meta game kind of thing, send an email to us. Let us know what's going on. It's h2mmo.blog@gmail.com. Or if you want, I'll go ahead and give you, like, I'm on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Michael Bartok. You can Twitter me there. And then we'll see if we can't get like some kind of meta guild kind of thing going. And then see if we can't get some posses going in Red Dead Redemption, or if we can't get a party going in Monster Hunter Tri. And, you know, we've, of course, some of us play WoW, and then there's other games coming up, which I want to talk about right here. Past two episodes, you know, my opening tag for MMO news, of course, is everyone is bored to death with WoW right now. And they're still bored to death with it, so I'm not going to talk about WoW. I'm going to talk about Star Wars, The Old Republic, which was the whole reason why we did H2MMO.com in the first place. Release date, they're saying, the buzz on the internet seems to be spring 2011. They've gone through several speculative release dates. I know that they're accepting people for testing right now. All the information that BioWare is making available is at www.swtor.com. So that's Star Wars, The Old Republic, abbreviated, the acronym, .com. They released a combat video a while back, and everybody who plays WoW or used to play Evercrack or whatever, they're very familiar with the tank healer DPS model of fighting major bosses. So you've got, depending on how big the boss is, you've got at least one tank out there who has the boss focused on him. You've got the healer's healing the tank and doing incidental healing for everybody else. And then you've got your DPS or damage per second people. Those guys are your strikers. They're coming in, they're hitting them, the boss monster as hard as they can to bring him down before the healer runs out of mana and can't heal the tank and the tank dies. This is the formula that's been going on in MMOs for
forever.
I don't know, for as long as I can remember. That's how you did it in Final Fantasy XI. That's how you do it in WoW. I think that's how you did it in Evercrack. BioWare and Star Wars, they said no. What they're going to use is an epic heroic combat model. So they said that even from the very beginning that you're going to be able to come out and just take down two or three dudes at the same time. Just like, oh hi, I'm a Padawan Jedi. See my lightsaber? It's not very big yet because I'm not a strong Jedi. But, oh, there's three stormtroopers. Let me, oh, whack, 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 you're dead. Because they want everybody to feel like a hero from the movies.
Yeah, this, incidentally, is not how the Star Wars tabletop game goes.
Not at all.
As I learned the hard way, my very first game ever of that, my Jedi tried to jump down and attack three stormtroopers and got destroyed.
Yeah, that we were actually rolling up Dungeons and Dragons characters last night.
Oh, really? Are you going
to
play?
Well, the wives were trying to sleep, which is bad because my wife is supposed to be the cleric, and my cousin is supposed to be the tank, the defender. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to. Well, we didn't have enough books to go around. I mean, there's always a shortage of players' handbooks.
Yeah.
But so anyway, everybody was rolling up their characters or whatever. But like, my wife wasn't having none of it. She was like, "No, I didn't get my nap today." So. But yeah, in a couple weeks we're supposed to start playing on Saturday evenings, late.
Ooh, you gotta tell me. I want to play.
Oh well, yesterday we started rolling up characters just because it was a spur of the moment kind of thing. But in 2 weeks. The 5th, I believe it is, we're going to start playing a little Dungeons and Dragons. And this is, you know, why would we bring this up here? Because they don't have, like, the really good couch player co-op now. Everything's multiplayer. Everything's online. Sure, I can hop on my PlayStation and talk to my, you know, my cousin or her husband or whatever. But it's not the same as actually, like, sitting down, being there. And it's just a really good excuse to sit down and get some beer and some pizza and have some fun and spend some time with your friends and family.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we want to do with it. I mean, we're not about to take this extremely seriously or anything like that, but, so we started doing that. And in those games, in the tabletop games, you definitely can't go in and fight two or three guys that are your same level all by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Star Wars or Dungeons and Dragons, unless you get really lucky, and certainly in WoW, you know, you go in, and if you've got crappy gear, two or three dudes, you might not come out of that. You might be doing a corpse run. But they're convinced that this is the way to go, and that's what they want to do. So they want you to be able to take out two or three dudes or more. They've got video of this up on their site. You know, they've got the cover mechanic in an MMO, which we've never had before.
Yeah, which I'm excited about. That looks really cool.
Well, I mean, they're going to have a lot of laser blast, you know, pew-pew.
Yeah.
Like real pew-pew this time. So, yeah, you're going to want to hide behind some boxes in case somebody throws a sticky grenade at you. So I'm interested to see how that does because I know that in WoW that if you make a mistake and you chain pull too much, you're absolutely going down. Like, absolutely. And knowing how much you can chain pull is a part of, like, leveling and a part of dungeon running. So, but if they're going to want, if everybody in a party is supposed to be able to do this, like, that's going to be extremely interesting, you know, because I don't know how they're going to do dungeons or anything like that, but,
yeah.
You know, so if you get into some of this, you know, elite content, and you're chain pulling and supposed to, I don't, like, that just seems kind of chaotic to me. I don't know how they're going to handle it. I'm curious to find out how. So, anyway, so that's coming. That video's out there. And then I think there's also a video of, put on your thermal underpants, because we're going to Hoth.
Oh, yeah.
They've released Hoth, a video, I believe, and they've stated that it is absolutely going to be one of the explorable worlds in, Star Wars The Old Republic. So, I mean, Hoth was Empire Strikes Back. Other than that, I thought it was pretty empty, but they're gonna use it. So, wonder how that's gonna go. I know that they might wanna put in a store that sells some fuzzy parkas. Because it's really cold there.
Well, you know, they announced it, like, on the 30th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back, actually.
That's right. And when was that?
Crap.
Dare I ask?
22nd, I think. No. That can't be right. That was yesterday. No, it was, I can't remember. It's in the 20s. I know that much.
So it was just recently, right?
Yeah, like within a few days.
Okay, because I don't want to be giving people, like, stale news.
No, it's not old at all.
Okay. All right. Oh, whew, that's a load off my mind.
Yeah.
Not in my pants. Totally different. That was earlier in the show. With the Transformers. So, all right, so that's what we've got coming up. Epic Combat and Epic Combat on Hoth. I don't know, Luke Skywalker had a hard time with the Abominable Snowman from Rudolph.
Yeah.
And he was one dude. So maybe they're changing the combat model. I don't know. Maybe you'll be able to go kill two or three of them this time. We'll see. In spring 2011, hopefully. But that's it. That is all I have. Does anybody have anything else that they want to add or talk about?
I think I am good, too.
That's all I have.
Well, we want to, Brett and Brandon and I want to thank you for listening. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for us, please feel free to contact us at h2mmo.blog@gmail.com. Or please leave a comment on any of our blog posts, any one of them at all. We read those as soon as they come in. We're very interested in hearing what you think about what we do. Remember that we do this because it's a labor of love. We do not do it because we're paid to do it. So the video games that we're playing are ones that we have bought and rented. They're the ones that we spend our hard-earned cash and our time on. And we want to get a good review. We want to share what we think of these things with you. And we want to hear what you think of what we're doing. Also, we want to thank the Blind Monkeys, as always, for supplying the music that you hear at the beginning and end of each and every episode of the H2MMO podcast. You can find out more about the Blind Monkeys at www.blindmonkeys.com. Monkeys is spelled M-O-N-K-E-E-Z. And if you're in the St. Petersburg area, please check out their website and see when and where they're playing next. So thank you very much, everybody. And that's it, man. Good night, Gracie. Everybody say good night.
Good night.
Good night. Goodbye. Hasta luego, and we'll see you later. Thanks, guys. Bye. Walking down on Friday night, all the ladies look so bright. Me and the boys look for fine. Till I dress warm and cut my side. It's hot late and I'm feeling weak. I need warm with me extreme. We're out and I'm feeling strong. But it's dream of mine, it won't take long. Whispering on air. We're talking dirty. The words she likes to hear. Yeah. Head on down to drop in. We're just here for sin. We play my cards, aces high. She likes game, give it a try. It's hot late, not feeling weak. Got that one with me extreme. We're out and I'm feeling strong. That journey mine can't take long. We're talking dirty, all whispering on air. We're talking dirty, the words she likes to hear.